Hello, I'm Linor Mudu. Welcome to Health Chat. April 2nd is World Autism Awareness Day. The theme this year is Empowering Autistic Voices. Autism Spectrum Disorder is a developmental disorder characterized by challenges with social skills, repetitive behaviors, and speech and nonverbal communication. About 1 in 100 children has autism worldwide, according to the World Health Organization. We will look at autism today with our guest, Virginia Kasiama, founder of JECC Behavioral Center. But first, the World Food Program warns Malawi faces a looming food crisis because of a devastating drought triggered by the effects of El Nino. It says up to 40% of the population is facing alarming levels of hunger. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
The UN's World Food Program reports around 40% of Malawi's population of more than 20 million is facing acute hunger, threatening both lives and livelihoods. The agency says the country is still reeling from the impacts of tropical storms and cyclones that struck Malawi with terrible force in 2022 and 2023. As a result of these multiple disasters, it says 80% of the population that relies on agriculture is unable to cover its basic needs. WFP Country Director and Representative in Malawi, Paul Turnbull, says national maize stocks are running extremely low, forcing the country to import staple commodities that are normally available at home. Speaking from the capital, Lilongwe, today, he says food prices have soared to alarming levels, making them unaffordable for most people.
Acutely food insecure households are at risk having to resort to negative coping strategies, such as skipping meals, smaller food portions, and adults not eating so that young children can eat. There has been a surge in cases of children with moderate acute malnutrition and severe acute malnutrition, which is expected to become worse this year.
He says the strain on families also is increasing protection issues, particularly of women and girls. On March 23rd, Malawi's President Lazarus Chakwera declared a state of disaster in 23 out of Malawi's 28 districts affected by El Nino conditions. The government's preliminary estimates are that close to 2 million farming households and 749,000 hectares have been affected. This represents 44% of the national crop area. Turnbull says the impact of the El Nino-triggered drought is huge, and so are the needs. He says a hunger catastrophe can be averted if the international community steps up now with urgently needed aid. But he warns time for saving lives is running out.
The early onset of the 2024-2025 lean season poses significant challenges. Normally, the lean season starts in October. This year, it could start as early as July. Worst affected districts.
President Chakwera has appealed for more than $200 million to purchase 600,000 metric tons of food needed to feed his country of 20 million. For its part, Turnbull says WFP requires $70 million to provide emergency food assistance to some 2 million people for 3 months. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Observers say autism cases around the world are on the rise, with more children diagnosed every day and accessing treatment. However, much remains to be done to enable children in some communities to access the needed treatment and care. On this World Autism Awareness Day, we are joined via phone from North Andover, Massachusetts, by Virginie Kasiama, founder of JECC Behavioral Center. Mrs. Kasiama, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Madam Journalist. thank you for having me.
Of course, it's a pleasure. So you can just call me Linor, and I will call you Virginie if that's okay.
Okay, thank you, Linor.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
So listen, as I mentioned, World Autism Day, Awareness Day is today. The theme this year is Empowering Autistic Voices. What is the significance of this theme for you as someone who is an advocate and also someone who is a mother with a child with autism?
Thank you for the question. And it's a big day. We are coming, as you say, as a parent, as a provider to raise a voice spread the awareness through the month by providing support, power, and acceptance. And we are coming on this day to educate the world about autism and how it impacts a person. Also, we are spreading the word that people to understand and to respect people with autism and include them in a society. Also, that's a message that we're bringing to empowering, respecting, and including individual with autism in our society.
Very interesting. You know, a lot of people still do not understand what autism is. And mm-hmm. autism is defined as a developmental disorder. Let's start with some basics. What does it mean, and especially in the day-to-day life of a person with autism?
Autism is a condition that affects any individual, but mostly we see autism very, very severe, higher with children. So autism is a condition that affects the social, that affects our behavior, and we see a lot of everybody on the spectrum is different. And it affects everyone differently. There's three levels of autism, which is we have level one, which is severe. Level two, which is moderate. Level two, which is moderate. And level three, which is mild, in a sense that we have severe, mild, moderate, and it can be including Asperger, which has been removed from the DSM-5, which other people in the language saying Asperger is high function autistic. With the level one, which is the individual need a lot of support by socially taking care of themselves, doing the ADL, and advocating, which is comes, I think, with it affects the language. It can be nonverbal. It can be with a speech delay. It can be with apraxia, which is a speech disorder. So they require more support on that level.
And we'll talk more about the sort of support that is needed. Can you tell us some of the early signs? I mean, if we go from your experience, mm-hmm. when you had your child, did you have any indication that your child was autistic? What are the early signs?
Yeah, the early sign, I think we start noticing is in 18 months. 18 months, when you see your child not expressing or making noise. No, not, excuse me. The sign we have to notice when they are 18 months, which is visible sign that you notice. You want to notice the sign with communication, which the child has difficulty calling, let's say, fathers, mothers, or calling the people that are around him. And the other sign is about socially, that the child is not able to interact with others in a manner that children play. Or he's playing differently by utilizing things that the child prefers, not toys that are related to children. Let's say you see your child always play with hanger, the hanger that we hang clothes. Or they're always flapping, they're always running around, they have difficulty interacting, difficulty giving you eye contact, difficulty with communication or interest on certain games, or they have specific things that they like. When you're speaking with your child, the child cannot give you the eye contact, look at you. or the child is not responding to the name, and the child is pointing. He cannot tell you what they want around the house, or your child is pulling you, bring you where they want to get an object, a game, or food, so you can bring it for them. So there's a lot of early signs that appear mostly visible around that age. It can start early, but by 18 months, you start noticing abnormality, and you start noticing that there's certain things are not right with my child.
And I want to get a little bit personal, if that's okay with you, because I wanted you to share your experience when it came to your child. What did it take for you to understand what that it was autism? What kind of experience did you have in terms of finding proper diagnosis and even care?
Thank you for the question. From my own own experience, it started. My child progression was normal, perfect. So 3 months, he started blabbering. We had 3 months, 4 months. We were hearing a lot of noise, like the normal track. And when it came, I think after. Before, it started with 12 months. After we went in to meet the pediatrician, and the pediatrician was asking questions to know how the child developmental functioning is going. And I mentioned to the pediatrician that my child is making noise, blabbering as a normal child, but I'm feeling that he's not calling my name or saying Dada or Mama, things like that. And the pediatrician said that we should go back. And when we came back home, after that, I think there's a period that the children go, they get a vaccine or whatever. And I was observing my child without knowing, because the culture we come from, I personally never hear, I'm from Africa, never hear about autism. I don't know what autism was, about what autism is. But when I came here, that it opened my eyes. Also, you see, it's important in those age, from 0 to 3 months, 3 months to 12, 12 to 18 months, to check, to have a checkup regularly for your child with the pediatrician. Because everything starts from the pediatrician. And the pediatrician told me to observe and go back to the next appointment. When we went back, the pediatrician said he did some testing, and he gave us a referral to Boston. He said, you need to go see, meet a neurologist to do some testing. Because I'm seeing you saying some abnormality on your child. So when we went to Boston, I was in when the neurologist was testing my child. He displayed sort of stuff, understanding the child's functioning. It was not that great. And at the end of the day, we waited for the result. She came out. She said the child has autism, which was the news that I didn't understand what to do, but she advised and said to me that go back to the pediatrician. The pediatrician will guide you and will provide resources. And when we came back to the pediatrician, and they have a job to connect us with early intervention, and after the early intervention, they assign my child a provider at the Boston Children, which is a great hospital for children in Boston, kind of guide me what can we do the next step. Okay. And then it was very difficult news for us to accept within the family, and we didn't know. The time has passed. I wish I knew I can find him out, but I'm great. I live in a state of Massachusetts, which we have a lot of services that they have been connecting me, and the we connected with the early intervention. The early intervention sent my child to find a school that was a special need school, and he was put on an IEP. And then on the IEP, that's where everything, the journey started, that he needs support. At school, he needs support. He has different services, OT, speech, one-on-one.
Okay.
And very, very supportive.
Okay. So thank you so much for sharing your journey. We see that you've gone through quite a bit to get to a point where you could mm-hmm. navigate the system for your child, for your son. And thank you so much for sharing this. And mm-hmm. as a mother who is originally from Africa, now you're in the United States, and you mentioned it that you were lucky to have access to some of the services. But when you think back to those you have left on the continent and the parents that may walk through this journey, what is the message that you would like to share, or what would you like to say about autism when we look at the African context or within the continent?
Thank you. It's a great question. It is very sad, very, very frustrating for me what I see, especially in my own country and the whole Africa. There is a crisis in Africa with autism that the population, the family, the community, the government doesn't understand. And autism with the parents, I want to say this message on this first day on the world awareness autism to all the parents in Africa. Autism takes a parent who doesn't give up, a parent who wants to get involved to know what's going on with my child. Who can I ask a question? What my child needs? I become an advocate around the United States because I did break the stigma. We have to break the stigma. The stigma means on my African fellow parent or provider, we have to come up to talk, to speak about autism. We don't need to be hiding autism because of our religion, of our culture, of our community. The community will laugh at me. The community will talk about me. The community will gossip about me. Let me tell them that if I didn't break the stigma to take my child's voice, to become an advocate in America, my child's progress couldn't be where we are. My child is an autistic child who's scoring higher score at the MCAS from the state. And he doesn't
wow.
speak much.
That's
so
great.
The courage, the bravery, break the stigma, come out, seek for service, call the people like you and I to guide them, to let them know where the services are and how we can build this world different with individual with autism by providing them support and advocating for them.
That's fantastic. And we are going to take a short break, Madame Virginie, and we'll come back to have more on your insights about autism. It's time for a short break. We'll have more on autism with Virginie Kasiama when we return. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Health Chat. If you're just joining us on today's program, we are discussing autism. Our guest is Virginie Kasiama, founder of JECC Behavioral Center in Massachusetts. And Ms. Virginie, before the break, you talk about stigma, which is such a critical critical issue when it comes to autism and also other conditions that people may not really understand. Now, one of the things that you're doing is trying to break stigma through the center that you founded. Tell us about the inspiration behind the JECC Behavioral Center and some of the services that you offer.
Thank you so much for your question. And the inspiration behind JECC was born out of the frustration as a mother, as a multicultural person in the United States. I have faced, as I explained to you, that we passed time before we found services for my son because of we didn't know. And I'd faced a lot of health disparities with my son. And what brought me back to school to learn from the school, I got frustrated to know that I wish I could be here. I could have those degrees that I do have. When I went first for my first master's in a mental health, I am a child behavioral therapist, as a psychotherapist. I learned a lot about mental health and behavior. And now when I went back to earn my second master's in applied behavior analysis, specialized with individuals with autism, that opened my eyes. That gave me the courage, that gave me the bravery to break the stigma, to know exactly how can I be a parent and a provider at the same time to provide the services in this community. The inspiration behind JCC was after COVID, we faced before COVID and after, we faced a lot of difficulties with providers. There were no providers, and there were, after COVID, we had a long list, which you can wait. People that goes for therapy, counseling, and ABA services, which we provide at the center, you can be on the wait list for six months.
Wow.
Or 4 months. What the behavior of your child, you know, I know, we've been escalated, and that creates a catastrophic stress level in the home.
Yes.
We see in certain homes, parents are leaving. The father cannot take it because you're raising a child with autism. Among autistic parent mom, there's a lot of single moms that are battling the war, the journey to raise the children. So from that experience, I came with an idea. I have 11 years experience working with mental health, and my expertise is mostly our children. I focus with behavior and autism individual. So I created the program, which is, we call it JECC. It's a sanctuary of the children that are on spectrum and without spectrum. Sanctuary means when a child walks in at JCC, JCC is a world of inclusion. They cannot look your child differently. When your child is jumping off the chair, when your child is throwing a tantrum, when your child is screaming, when people sitting on the reception giving your child a different look. I face that. When I go with my child to the dentist, when my child doesn't want to walk in the dentist door, all the parents around holding the children, they think you're bringing a crazy child. Uh-huh. They're looking at you different, and you feel alone. So I created this world from my own experience that when you walk in a JCC, they know already who you are. They include you, they respect you, and they understand you. And we train our staff. We have training how to engage with the family on that level on children with autism or without autism. We put appropriate training to understanding you are in your world. This is your welcome world. You can scream, you can jump, we can de-escalate you. So it's working well for me, the population I serve. It's a diverse population across the lifespan. We are up to going to 1,000 clients in the space of 3 years. I myself, I am hands-on. I am not only the founder. I am a therapist. I am a clinician in a mental health aspect and on applied behavior services. I go on the floor providing services, meeting the parents. I run an international group that we incorporating Africa here in the United States for Black and Indigenous parents, BIPOC, raising children with autism, educating parents, empowering parents, giving them the bravery. And that's why you guys saw me at the Congress. I am advocating not only for the United States children, I am advocating for the whole Africa and around the world, anybody who is on the spectrum.
So what do you see as the most pressing needs as we move forward? I mean, we've come a long way when it comes to autism. 20 years ago, a lot of people didn't even in the United States, a lot of people were still discovering there were no access to treatment, to the proper care. Now you have ABA, applied behavioral analysis, and other sorts of therapy. You have people like you that are advocates, making your voice heard on Congress and everything. Now, what would you say is next on the agenda to improve the life and livelihood of children and adults with autism?
Thank you so much, Anda. The agenda, I think, is pretty much big, as we said. There's a lot of services that's coming in, and the research continue to do the research to find more what is the evidence-based, proven services that also can link helping the person. So more in the agenda, we have the ABA, that is an evidence-based, working with a lot of children with autism and families. We also have behavior therapists. We all have in-home therapy. We all in-home behavior services, which is a modality of ABA. That's also helping with families, children. And on the agenda, we advocating the need is with from children, training parents themselves to be able to start with the children themselves. Like, for example, when COVID came up, parents were left alone. Parents were not educated how they can handle the children. And we are very lucky that me working with other organizations in place, we have caregiver skill training, which is a huge program created by the WHO World Health Organization, that cooperating, partnering with partner like me, who has a center like others. That program briefly is, how can we train parents and other parents and provider for when we waiting or when we seeing the red flag? Let's say the way you ask me, when I'm seeing the red flag, how can I handle it before I seek for help? And when I'm on the wait list, because the shortage of provider, like with ABA, the list is long. You've been waiting to get to ABA takes 6 or 3 months.
And Miss Virginie, we're running out of time. I'm gonna let you wrap. Unfortunately, we don't. Just in 15 seconds.
Okay. So we have the services upcoming. And we have the research that we are advocating. That's why we came there to ask money to improve the life of the people with autism.
And Virginie, we wish you all the best in your work. Thank you so much for joining us today.
And thank you, Lino. Thank you for having me.
That was Virginie Kasiama, founder of JECC Behavior Center in North Andover, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Lino Moudou, in Washington with producer Mugbilia Barrow. Until next time, take care, stay safe, and strive to make every day a healthy day.